Okay, now let's move on to Rav Hirsch. As I mentioned in the Hakdama to Rashi's approach to the Shira, as opposed to the other Shirim on this CD, instead of going in order of the Psukim and putting Rashi and the Netziv and the Mefarshim together, I decided that the Shira is so complex and so many pieces, one flows into the other, to do Rashi separately, the Rav Hirsch separately, and the Netziv in general, and the Netziv separately as well. So let's take Rav Hirsch's approach to the Shiras Hazim. Rav Hirsch writes, Moshe's mission had two factors, teachings and promises. Rav Hirsch now is like giving a summary of the first two psukim. Hazim Hashemayim v'adabera v'hisvarasim mefri yarov kamatar likli. Rav Hirsch writes that the heavens and the earth will cooperate in forming the future of Bnei Yisrael. That neither of these factors would be lost, the teachings and the promises. The heavens and the earth would be witnesses and guarantors of the bris, and they would not rest until Hashem's Torah has become lekach. Lekach means to take it into the heart. You buy something, it becomes yours. So the heaven and the earth will be the witnesses, and they will help encourage Am Yisrael either with the reward or with the punishment, to put the Torah into, make it a lekach, a teaching which they absorb, and so that the seeds of light and warmth, of knowledge and life, would shoot forth, be like refreshing dew, etc., so that the Torah and the promises would prove themselves in Am Yisrael. In other words, the Shemayim and Aretz are going to play the role of helping to instill the teachings and providing the promises that Am Yisrael, Hashem has given Am Yisrael. That's our first summary of Pasuk Aleph and Beis. Okay. Pasuk Gimel, we saw already, the Gemara says, is a reference to Birchos HaTorah. So it's striking here. Mam is striking. See, Rav Hirsch wrote his Perush in German, and it was translated into English. Rav Hirsch included a lot of Hebrew words in his Perush, which are also in Hebrew, in the translation. Once in a while, Rav Hirsch puts in like a Hebrew paragraph, which he doesn't explain in English. It's Hebrew. He might quote a long medrash in Hebrew, which he doesn't translate into German, which we have in English. And once in a while, he has like a chiddush. So here, on page 630, Rav Hirsch has a chiddush, a chiddush in like learning, like a Gemara chiddush, regarding the Shitas HaRambam. You see, there's a discussion. We know that most brachos are only midrabbanan. Benching is a bracha deraisa. The Torah says, Be'achalte v'sabatu v'erachka. The Gemara has a discussion about Birchos HaTorah. And based on that discussion, the Ramban writes that saying Birchos HaTorah is a mitzvah deraisa. And the Rambam leaves it out. The Rambam doesn't mention reciting Birchos HaTorah as a mitzvah deraisa. The Ram wrote a sefer on mitzvos. He listed all the mitzvos and the lavin. At the end of the sefer mitzvos of the Rambam, you have the additions, the hasagos of the Ramban, where he adds. You see, let me explain. In the Rambam sefer on mitzvos, as you go through the sefer, every now and then the Ramban knocks out a mitzvah of the Rambam. The Ramban says, this mitzvah that the Rambam calls the Araisa, it's not the Araisa, it's only Midrabana. It happens a few times. Well then, you know, but the Ramban agrees to the total number of Taryag. So at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos, after the Ramban has knocked out a few mitzvos and a few lavin, the Ramban adds in mitzvos and lavin, which he thinks the Rambam left out in order to get back to the Taryag. One of the most famous ones is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, which the Rambam doesn't mention in the Sefer Mitzvos, and the Ramban adds in. And another famous one is Birchos HaMitzvos, Birchos HaTorah, that the Ramban puts Birchos HaTorah as one of the mitzvos, deraisa, mitzvah tezvav. So Rav Hirsch here has a whole fancy explanation to defend the Rambam against the Ramban's attack. The Ramban says that the Gemara sounds like saying Birchos HaTorah is the Araisa, and the Rambam leaves it out. Our first year explains it's worthwhile to go through. I'm not going to do it now, but he has a long paragraph here. It's where the Rav Hirsch was a tremendous Lamdan as well, a big huge Talmid Chacham, and he here defends the Rambam's opinion that Birchos HaTorah are not a mitzvah d'oraisa, rather only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Okay. In Pasuk Hey we saw, the Torah writes, Shiches lo banav muma. It's a very difficult Pasuk to read. Now, Rav Hirsch here does something which to me is quite uncharacteristic of Rav Hirsch. See, as I've been going through Rav Hirsch now a lot, I notice as follows. Rav Hirsch very, very often takes what Chazal say, which Rashi often quotes, and elaborates on it, develops it, adds to it. So if you learn Chumash, Rashi, Rav Hirsch, you get a much deeper appreciation of Rav Hirsch. Here, uncharacteristically, Rav Hirsch doesn't work with Rashi, but he raises several questions of diktuk against the pshat of Rashi and the Rishonim on this pasuk, and offers his own pshat. See, Rav Hirsch thinks that the way the other mefarshim read, the pasuk doesn't flow, it's not one theme. It's very uncharacteristic. Rav Hirsch here develops that he thinks Shiches lo lo banav mumam, the way Rashi learns, like there's a break in the middle of the pasuk, Shiches lo lo banav mumam, like there is, as we learned. So anyway, this is uncharacteristic of Rav Hirsch. How does Rav Hirsch read the pasuk? He reads the pasuk as follows. Shiches is a verb from the word Shiches of moral corruption. Oh, so he says as follows. Its old failing has corrupted it to be no children, an obstinate and disobedient generation. In other words, Am Yisrael's shiches, Am Yisrael's moral corruption, has made them into lo banav, as if they're not Hashem's children. The way Rashi learns, it's shiches lo, corruption is not Hashem's, rather banav muma, it's the blemish of the children. Now, verse explains why Al Pi Diktuk that pshat is difficult for him. He says it's one flow. Am Yisrael's moral corruption has caused them to be like, quote unquote, non-children, an obstinate, disobedient generation, dura keshu fasalta. I'm mentioning this only because it's uncharacteristic. It's not how our first normally does things. He has a different pshat in Pasuk Hey. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is where you have Hala Hashem Tigmu Luzos. Right, the rhetorical question. This is how you treat Hashem? So Rav Hirsch writes here, he says the pasuk means, so you have to ask yourself, Hashem is always the same. Hashem's actions are the same. Hashem is perfect. If Hashem makes you suffer, it's because of justice and equity. Just like your former good fortune, right, was because of the mitzvos, so now your tzaras is because of the averas. It's not Hashem that has changed. You have changed. Your fortune has changed, and you no longer allow Hashem to show His miraculous rescuing power, etc. Shiches, your old fault of disobedience and corruption. Well, so then, hey, the hey is a large hey. There is one question you should be asking. Instead of accusing Hashem, you should put the question to yourselves. And this question should always hover in big letters before you. L'Hashem Tigmu Luzos? Is this to be the whole fruit that matures out of all that Hashem has done for you and to you? How can you imagine that Hashem has done and would go on doing these great things for you, if in the end that you, with your moral degeneracy, end up no different from the rest of the nations of the world? So the question is, you have to always ask yourself, Hashem doesn't change. We're the ones who have changed. Is this what we want? Hala Hashem Tigmu Luzos? Is this the way you want to treat Hashem? V'Hashem who's done everything for you, is this the way you want to treat him and end up like the other nations? It's a rhetorical question. That's how it first explains the pasuk. Again, similar to Rashi, he just develops it a little more. Oh, the pasuk goes on, Halohu avicha kanecha, he is like your father. Our first points out here, Hashem only wants what's best for you. That's the lesson of avicha. Avicha, a person's father, wants what's best for a son. Sometimes a father has to punish his son. But if it's a healthy relationship, a son knows his son, the father's punishment is out of love. Hashem only wants what's best for you. Is it not your father who ordains all this for you? Etc. So you should understand, Moshe is saying, Hashem, your father, demands these things from you. It's only for your own well-being. Don't blame Hashem. Don't turn against Hashem. It's like your father. And you have to understand that that's where it's coming from. That's the Lashon Halohu Avicha Kanecha. He's your father. Oh. Next, Pasuk Ches and Tes. Hashem, this is the Pesukim we saw that the Ramban quotes. Hanchel Olyon Goyim, Hashem divides up the nations. L'mispar b'nei Yisrael. And Am Yisrael are a countable number. It's an interesting phrase. The nations have all their lands, and Am Yisrael, you see the Lashon, L'mispar b'nei Yisrael, which means literally, for b'nei Yisrael who were countable. What does that mean exactly? So he says as follows. The Ramban says, Rav Hirsch says, this is referring to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem organized things that the different Goyim will take possessions of the land and then lose the land. But they were not to keep these lands, which were destined already beforehand for a nation, the very beginning of which still only existed in single members of one family. The Mispar, they were countable. Moshe Rabbeinu is describing how Hashem runs history. That you have this Eretz Canaan, you have this nation has this part, and this nation has this part, and this one controls, and that controls, and it's all part of Hashem's master plan. Hashem was organizing all of the nations that controlled parts of and different parts of Canaan in order to ultimately give it to a nation that barely existed yet, L'mispar. At that point, only there were a few of them. They were still countable, L'bnei Yisrael. Rav Hirsch reads the word mispar means easily countable. This is describing Hashem's greatness, that he had this entire plan for, you know, centuries and centuries, all in order to ultimately give Eretz Canaan to B'nai Yisrael. Oh. Then Rav Hirsch writes, and he says this many, many times, one of his favorite themes, Rav Hirsch constantly writes about the relationship of Am Yisrael, the Torah, and Eretz Yisrael. Rav Hirsch says over and over again, we're not a nation due to our land. We're not a nation due to our land. We're a nation due to the Torah. We're a nation due to our connection to Hashem. And this we take with us as we enter into Eretz Yisrael. This is Pasuk Tes. Ki chelet Hashem amo. Oh, let's read Rav Hirsch. Hashem did not allow the children of Israel to grow into a nation in the land destined for them. In contrast to all other nations, he let them become a nation without a land and then take possession of the land destined for them. Chelek Hashem Amo. Am Yisrael remains the people of God. Here's what Rav Hirsch writes. That which the soil of the land is to other nations, God is to Israel. That which the soil of the land is to other nations, God is to Israel. Other nations have their roots in their land, conquering it, adapting themselves to it, building it, etc. Am Yisrael, its entire culture, its entire nationhood is built on Hashem. Rav Hirsch writes, Israel is to bring its spiritual, moral culture as formed by Hashem with it into the land. Israel is to bring its spiritual and moral culture as formed by Hashem through the Torah with it into Eretz Yisrael. That's what this pasuk means. Ki chelek Hashem amo. Hashem's portion is us. We are Hashem's portion. That's what makes us a nation. And then take that with you into Eretz Yisrael. This is Rav Hirsch's whole approach, really. Rav Hirsch always talks about taking the perfect Torah and applying it to every new reality which you come across. So in the beginning, Am Yisrael took the Torah and applied it to the new reality of Eretz Yisrael. And in the future, we take the perfect Torah and apply it to whatever reality we come across. That's how it first reads, Kichel Kashem Amo. We became a nation through Hashem, through the Torah. And this leads into Pasuk Yud. Yimtzeu be'eretz midbar. Hashem found us in the midbar. What does that mean? Rav Hirsch writes. Beautiful. Where did Hashem find us? Where did Hashem create us? In the midbar, in desolation. We had nothing. We had no external possessions here. He says, there were no verdant meadows and no towns stand out. Man is forsaken out there in the midbar. That's where Hashem created us. That's the idea. We were created without a land, just the opposite. We were created in the midbar with no external possessions. This again, so Pasuk Yud is an exact hemshech of Pasuk Tes. We are Hashem's nation, we're created Hashem's nation, and Dafka, we were created in the midbar when we literally had nothing outside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah was given to us outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's like this. The Mefarshim discussed the idea that Hashem gave us the Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mefarshim write, this teaches us the Torah applies everywhere. It doesn't only apply in Eretz Yisrael, it applies in Chutz La'aretz. It was given in Chutz La'aretz. Our first is going a step further. Our first is saying, it's not just it was given in Chutz La'aretz, it was bedafka given in Chutz La'aretz to show us that our existence as a nation is not dependent, is dependent on the Torah. And our existence in Eretz Yisrael is based on our keeping the perfect Torah and applying it to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kinesha Ya'ir Kino, that the eagle wakes up its young from above. So we discussed that. That Rav Hirsch says the message from above is Hashem's above us. Hashem wants us to rise up to Him. So that's the metaphor, that's the symbolism of the eagle. The eagle hovers above its young and gently raises the young upwards, looking upwards. They trust in their mother. They trust in the mother eagle above them. And from that, and then they learn to grow. So we look upwards to Hashem. We have to trust in Hashem to help us grow, looking upwards. That's our first beautiful symbolism here. Al goes a love Yerachef. That the eagle wakes up its young from above. That they look up to the eagle to rise up higher. Okay. Oh, and then Pasuk Yud Gimel describes the wonderful, successful Gashmius that we have in Eretz Yisrael. Vat Yochal Tenuvo Sadai. We ate from the produce of the fields, Devash Misela, honey from rocks, etc. Rav Hirsch writes, this is always the order. First you have the Torah, and you serve Hashem well, and then you have the extraordinary fertility in Eretz Yisrael. He writes here, under the special blessing which Hashem granted the land of His Torah for the people, then the fertility exceeded the ordinary natural state of the soil. This is the order. You get the Torah, you keep the Torah, and then you'll have miraculous produce in Eretz Yisrael. That's the flow from Yud to Yud Aleph to Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Tezvav. The famous Pasuk of Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivat. Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivat. Am Yisrael becomes fat, Yishman, and kicks. This means too much Gashmias. If Am Yisrael doesn't succeed in the challenge of wealth, then unfor Rachmana Litzlan, they reject Hashem. So first of all, the word Yeshurun. Rav Hirsch describes the word Yeshurun. This is the first time that Am Yisrael is called Yeshurun. Why is it called Yeshurun? Because Am Yisrael is designated after the ideal of its moral calling, which is Yasha, straight, never deviating in any way from the straight path. That's Yeshurun. We are a straight nation. We have a Torah. We have to live by the Torah. That's being straight. That's Yeshurun. Well, okay. That's Yeshurma. Now, Rav Hirsch writes that this pasuk, unfortunately, has happened in Jewish history. In suffering, Am Yisrael have mostly proved themselves splendid. We've been able to maintain connection with Hashem in suffering. But, Rav Hirsch writes, it has seldom been able to stand good fortune. Am Yisrael has always had trouble when we're successful financially to remain connected with Hashem. It has often become fat, covered. That means when you get too rich, you're covered in a sense, you don't feel the link to Hashem. And Rav Hirsch here gives a beautiful mashal, and he says like this. You know, a person can, you know, eat a lot of food. A person eats a lot of food. And if you're healthy and you exercise, so then the food that you eat becomes muscle, and you become bigger and stronger. So you're bigger, you're stronger, you have more, Rav Hirsch writes, but in a healthy way. Right? The surplus is energy, work, and you produce more and more achievements. But if a person eats more and more, but he doesn't use the added food, the added energy to build up muscle, what ends up happening? You build up fat. If you eat more and you have more and it's not used properly, you build up fat. Right? Well, right, so, I mean, right now, I mean, the example, and right now it's the time of the Olympics. So just as a muscle, right, this swimmer, he won 8 gold medals. Phelps. So they talk about in the news the incredible amount of carbohydrates that he eats. You know, he's like a human machine. He needs tremendous amounts of energy for what he wants to accomplish. So that's an example of using the food in a healthy way. He eats food, a lot of carbohydrates. Then he exercises like crazy, builds up all the muscle, and he is a successful swimmer. I'll get back to that later. Anyway, but if you eat a lot and you don't use it properly, you get fat and it's unhealthy. So Rav Hirsch writes, this is a beautiful mashal and nimshal. Am Yisrael serving Hashem. Am Yisrael receives material bounty from Hashem. Our challenge is to channel the extra money, the extra gashmias, back into ruchnias, back into avodas Hashem. It's like using the carbohydrates to build muscle and to exercise. But if you don't take that gashmias, the added money, the added wealth, if you don't reinvest it and keep on using it more and more for ruchnias, then it just sits there, becomes fat, and it weighs you down, and it doesn't allow you to serve Hashem well. But this is the history of Am Yisrael. It did not use the abundance and surplus with which it was blessed to increase spiritual and moral achievements. Its moral improvement did not keep pace with its material good fortune. If we would use the extra wealth and give a little more tzedakah and support more yeshivas, so then it's healthy. So everything's good. We have more money, we're stronger, and we're doing mitzvahs the right way. We'll keep it getting more and more. But if we don't use the excess properly, then it weighs on a person, and it's unhealthy. It's a beautiful mashal nimshal here, mamash. It's perfect. I think an example is this guy Phelps. He is using the massive amounts of carbohydrates for him in the appropriate way. By the way, just as an aside about following sports, you have to understand when you. Sometimes we make these sports figures into like heroes. We have to understand their achievements are all in the realm of physical achievements. And in Yahadus, a person's governed by his moral inner worth. And we have to be very careful from getting caught up, oh, he's a great guy, I want to be like him. No, you don't. Because very often, they might be a great ball player, but in their personal life, they're not. And you have to always remember this, you know, sports can be a diversion, Some people need a break. You need to relax. Sports can be a non-unhealthy diversion. But you have to know you can't get caught up with, you know, I want to be like this person. Because you don't know what they're like in their moral life. You have to want to live like someone who's a good moral person. I'll give you a mushroom. There's Scott Norwood and there's Adam, I think Vinaturi, I forgot his exact name. These are kickers. Scott Norwood is forever remembered as a loser. The two key words next to Scott Norwood are wide right. The 1991, I think, Super Bowl, it was during the Gulf War. Buffalo Bills were a powerhouse team, and the Giants were a good team chugging along, but the Bills were favored, a powerhouse team, and they get to the Super Bowl, and the Giants use up the clock, and it's a close game, and the Bills are down by a point, I think, and they're coming back, and they're driving downfield, and they get to a field goal. The time's going to run out on the clock. It's like a 45 or 49-yard field goal. And this is every person's dream to literally win the Super Bowl as the clock runs out, as a kicker, like hitting a grand slam homer in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. And Scott Norwood steps up, misses the field goal wide right, and then I think he got football the next year. He's considered a loser. Then there's this guy, Adam, I think Vinaturi, something like that. He's kicker for the Patriots. And he basically, I think, I forgot already the details, he won either, I think, two Super Bowls. One he won on a last second kick and one in overtime. Two Super Bowls he won with kicking. He's considered the greatest winner. Now, I don't know what they're like in their personal lives, but let's, for sake of argument, let's say that Norwood's a good guy, and, you know, I don't know, he does chesed in his neighborhood or whatever. And let's say the Vinaturi, let's say he's not a good guy in his personal life, in his moral life, which is very possible. So here you have two people, and the average guy considers Norwood a loser, and the other one a winner. No. A loser and winner is defined by your moral worth. So you have to be careful getting caught up when you follow sports to not identify like, you know, I want to be like him. You know, you can have a work ethic. You can learn from someone having a good work ethic. If a player has a work ethic, you can learn from that. But you have to be careful. Anyways, that's as an aside. So, kids, sir, I'm not commenting on Michael Phelps' level of ruchnius. I don't know. All I know is that as far as this nakuda goes, how to use carbohydrates properly. So that's what he does. And that's exactly our Hirsch's muscle here. There's the proper use of extra wealth. It becomes muscle and strength. Ruchni is strength. Money is carbohydrates. And ruchnius activities, moral activities, is like exercise, building muscle. It's a beautiful muscle nimshel here in our Hirsch on page 644. Now our first continues. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Again, this is describing the Chataim of Am Yisrael. Yakni uhu bizarim bisoevos yach isuhu. The order is significant. Am Yisrael first gets involved in strange gods and then in immorality. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Torah writes Yizbechu lashedim. They sacrifice to demons. What does demons mean over here exactly? The Mepharshim, there are different pshatim. So Rav Hirsch offers here, mamash, a psychological pshat. He says when a Jew leaves Avodas Hashem, then they're overwhelmed by these demons, quote unquote, some real and some not. I'll just read you what he writes and we'll discuss it. A state in which man, who is close to Hashem, a state in which man turns to a life dutifully devoted to following Hashem's directions, is able, even in his life here below, to wander holding on to the hand of Hashem, even through darkness. He is in undisturbed calm, going towards the light. Okay. But if man closes his eyes to the light, the world sinks from him into a night filled with real and imagined specters and ghosts, in which his only guide is the, Davy lamp, I don't know what that word means, of his experiences. He has only to go through the fight with inimical demons for luck and existence, and every desire and enjoyment ends in disgust and disappointment, a life which he enters crying, where man is the unhappiest of all creatures because he is conscious of being unhappy, and because he bears in his heart an urgent demand for happiness and peace, which without a life devoted to duty remains ever unsatisfied. This is very, very deep. Number one, man wants to be happy. And man knows that if he's not happy, he recognizes he's unhappy. And deep down, a Jew wants to serve Hashem. And if a Jew leaves the derech of Hashem, then there's this depth of unhappiness. Or first, that's the shaydin, like these inner demons. Something's bothering me deep down inside. It's a very deep shot. A person feels this inner lacking, this unease. Something's missing in my life. Rav Hirsch says that's what the word shady means. A Jew has to realize that's what happens. That is what happens. You talk to many Baalei Tshuva, and they tell you that the life was unhappy and full of, and like they felt that wherever they turned, there was tsaros and difficulty. Then once you serve Hashem, so once you have the proper perspective, so you feel Hashem's with you, and it's entirely different. It's an entirely different world. So Rav Hirsch interprets the demons on the sense of these inner demons, a psychological pshat. They're overwhelmed by the demons. Very beautiful pshat that Rav Hirsch gives. From the blissful state of a godly world, meaning someone who serves Hashem properly, to the pessimism of a demon haunted world. That's been the road along which defection from Hashem has always traveled. And that's the road that's being pictured here for Am Yisrael's defection. Okay, that's Pasuk Yud Zayin. Oh, our first continues, Pasuk Kaf. Vayomer Hashem says that because they do Averis, Astira Panay Mehem, I will hide my face from them. The Pasuk continues later, Kidur Tapu Chos Hema. They're a nation full of changes. Rav Hirsch gives the pshat. They think they can do without me and my support. Let them experience where they'll get without me. Astir panay mehem. And he says here, Dor tapachos hema, they're a generation full of changes. They change their feelings quickly, go quickly from one second to its very opposite one. In trouble, they seek me and my help, and as soon as they have been helped, forget all about me. A very powerful pasuk. Rav Hirsch says, Dor tapachos hema, is a reference to this idea. It's a reference to this idea, Rav Hirsch says, that when things are bad, Am Yisrael turns to Hashem. And as soon as they're good, tapuchos, right away they turn around and forget Hashem and reject Hashem. That's something we have to avoid. That's the challenge of wealth. That's the challenge, really, of the Western world, of the Western Jewish world. That's the challenge of Torah Jewry in the Western world. For many people, that's a challenge of wealth. Don't be a dor tapuchos. Rav Hirsch is saying, the Torah is telling us. We can't be a dor tapuchos. We can't just turn around as soon as Hashem helps us and we forget about Hashem. That's Pasuk Kaf. Okay. Now, Pesukim Kaf Avon Kaf Zayin. The Pesukim of Amarti Afehem. I said I will destroy them. If not, for the Kas Oyev. So we read Rashi. And I said, in which Hashem, I'll add on a shir from the Ramban. So Rav Hirsch just says the same idea as the Ramban, but he says it here in English. So he says as follows. Okay. You know, our mission is to spread Hashem's name into the world. So Rav Hirsch writes like this. So Israel must remain in the... Israel here doesn't mean the land of Israel, it means Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael must remain in the midst of a world which is inimical to them and their God, amongst people who are more sinful and degenerate than they are. If the very opposite of what was intended by the whole historic mission of Israel is to be avoided. In other words, in order to avoid the whole world forgetting about Hashem, Am Yisrael has to survive in this corrupt world. Instead of being a world historic finger pointing to Hashem, to His will, which is what we're supposed to do, Israel's disappearance out of the memory of the world would be taken by the world as a triumph of the pagan, erroneous ideas over the truths of Judaism. So since that's what would happen if we were wiped out totally, Rachmanu Litzlan, so since that's what would happen, that's why Hashem never destroys us completely. This is what the Ramban says, basically. In the judgment of God on the Jews, they would see not judgment of Hashem, but the triumph of their own human power. So therefore, Israel must endure and suffer for ultimately for the teaching and education of the nations of the world and remain. That's the Pashat Pshat, the deep shot. I guess the Pashat deep shot of these Psukim. Rashi heads in that direction, but the Ramban and our first is reflecting the Ramban, develop it further, that the whole Yesod of the world is that ultimately Am Yisrael, the whole world should achieve recognition of Hashem. And if Am Yisrael would ever be totally, Rahman al-Islam, totally wiped out due to their Averis, it would lead to the opposite goal of what Hashem had for the world. That's Psukim Kaf Vav and Kaf Zayin. Okay. Later in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, you have a word Achzar. Achzar, we know, means to be cruel. So Rav Hirsch has a lot of godless in many areas. One area is Diktuk. Rav Hirsch in Diktuk is unbelievable with the Sharashim of the words. So Rav Hirsch here is troubled a little by the word Achzar. Like, what's the root of Achzar? He says the derivation is doubtful. And it means cruelty, but pitiless cruelty. So Rav Hirsch, it's interesting. Rav Hirsch conjectures, just one could almost be induced to take it as a composite. Achzar. Something which stands completely estranged, completely without love to others. Zar means foreign. Achzar means all he is foreign. He has no love for anything else, for anyone else. He's totally separate. He's cruel, doesn't care. So just the word Achzar refers to a creative pshat that maybe that's what Achzar means. So the Psukim describe that Am Yisrael, after they achieve financial material success, then they go off the derech, and Hashem punishes them severely in all the different ways. And then, Pasuk Lamates, the Pasuk writes, Ruata, see now, Am Yisrael, Hashem says, Ki ani, who? I'm it. I, the repetition of ani, I am he. Vein Elohim imadi, there's no other God with me. So why the repetition? So our first writes, we're emphasizing that the only hope is Hashem. Our first writes, page 656. Now, after everything in which you placed your trust has proved useless and futile, and from nowhere does help or salvation beckon to you, now you see that I alone, am the absolute, dependent on nothing, eternally unaltering Hashem. That's the emphasis, that we had our success, then we lost everything, we're in Galus, nothing helps. So Hashem saying, okay, recognize finally now, I, it's only me. That's the double Lashon. The emphasis that only Hashem is what, we can only rely, we can rely only on Hashem. Hashem is our only hope in this world. The pasuk goes on, Ani amisva achaye, I give life, Ani arpeh, I give health. Pasuk Lamates, the double Ani. Finally, at the end of the Shira, the Pasuk of Harinu Goyim Amo, the Goyim will praise Am Yisrael. Rav Hirsch here says, we've had this several times already on the Shirim with Rav Hirsch. See, it's interesting. The Torah is saying that the Goyim are going to praise Hashem because the Goyim will praise Am Yisrael for keeping with Hashem through all the tzaras. Meaning at some point the Goyim will have some Havana of that there's a Torah and there's an Am Yisrael and there is a God of Am Yisrael. That's what's happening here. That's what the pasuk is assuming in its description. So our first writes, the warning given here to the nations that they should then praise Am Yisrael makes one think that it was anticipated, as has actually occurred, that this book of Hashem's teaching would become the common property of the nations of the world through the hands of its scattered bearers, meaning through Am Yisrael. Thereby, this warning would also come to their knowledge, as would altogether the understanding of the true conception of Hashem and His teachings, etc. In other words, the Torah here is assuming that the Goyim will eventually see these psukim and see this story and see the Nevuah and come to recognition of Hashem and Am Yisrael's role in the world through seeing the Nevuah is fulfilled. So, and the Goyim will also learn the resulting principles of the equality and brotherhood of all men and the duties of respecting justice and the rights of man. And an ever progressive carrying out of these principles brought into practice. Then he goes on. This anticipation also assumes that the Jewish people themselves, by the influence of this Torah, which they brought out with themselves into the midst of the nations, would exert, you know, this influence, this enlightenment on the other nations of the world. Rav Hirsch here again is referring to the positive aspect of Golus. Golus is a punishment, it's bad for Am Yisrael, and it's bad, but Rav Hirsch writes in several places that Golus played a positive role of spreading the idea of the Torah's concept, the Jewish concept of morality, to the rest of the world. That Am Yisrael being out there in Golus has helped bring these ideals of the Torah to other nations as well. So Rav Hirsch understands that Pasuk Mem Gimel is another remez to this yesod of there's a positive angle within the Golus. Now, this Shiras Hazinu, the Gemara tells us it's broken up into six parts. And the acronym for the six parts is Haziv Lach. Hey Zayin Yud Vav is one word, Lach Lamed Vav. Because the six letters, Haziv Lach, the six letters Haziv Lach refer to the six sections, one starting with the letter Hey, Hazinu, the letter Zayin, Zachor, etc. And that it's supposed to be a dafka in these six sections. Rav Hirsch explains how each of these six sections is its own, like, you know, has its own theme. And he explains the breakdown of Haziv Lach. The truth is, as a machlokas, what the six sections are. But if you're interested, our first shira, at the end of this shira, explains the theme of each of the six sections and Haziv Lach. Now, this acronym, this memory device of Haziv Lach, means the glorious to you. Oh. So some of the Mefarshim say, why is Parshas Hazinu? I saw it was brought down, Rabbi Abachia says this, that why is Parshas Hazinu called Haziv Lach? Because Parshas Hazinu describes ultimately the Geula Hasida, and when the Geula comes, then the glory shall be returned to Hashem. The glory, the Hadar, the beauty, Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, Am Yisrael, keeping Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So Haziv Lach, Shiras Ha'azinu ultimately refers to leading to the glory that Am Yisrael will achieve and that Hashem will have through Am Yisrael, Limos HaMashiach by the Geula. And so it's not Stam that these six letters, it's not Stam like it's a memory device. The name of the memory device has this very significant hint of Haziv Lach, glory is unto you. Okay. That's Rav Hirsch, Shiras Hazinu.